Hey, Revelstoke Alliance Church, nice that you could join us again today. If you weren't able to be here on Sunday, then you can catch up with this video on the sermon. Now, throughout the summer, we have been working our way through Jesus' famous sermon, the Sermon on the Mount. He has gone on to explain that a person who follows him, who is his disciple, a Christian, a citizen of the kingdom of God, he explains how that person will, over time, through the power of the Holy Spirit, set priorities in their lives that will empower them to live in right relationship to God and to other people. Today's portion of the sermon focuses on two specific things. How can you tell if someone is a true or false teacher of God's word? And also, how can you tell if someone is a true or false follower of Jesus Christ, of God's word? Now, Jesus' teaching in this regard is very binary. You're either a true or false teacher of the Bible, and you are either a true or false follower of Jesus. So let's dive in and consider the implications and applications of Jesus' sermon. Matthew chapter 7 is where we're reading today, verses 15 to 20 initially. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that doesn't bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit you will recognize them. Now, earlier in the sermon, Jesus warned his followers about people attacking the church from without, about persecution. Now Jesus says that not only can the church be attacked from without, but it can be attacked from within as well, from false prophets, or in our era's context, false pastors, elders, and teachers. These false leaders are there to consume the church and not to build it up or nurture it. However, it's tricky to identify them from external appearances alone because they look like sheep. But Jesus says, don't go by external appearances. Somebody can look spiritual, appear charismatic, seem like a prophet or a leader, but their fruit will give them away. You can't get figs from thistles. So what kind of fruit are we talking about here that we can use to discern? Now, there's a whole lot of criteria in the Bible. Today, we're just going to look at three of them. We're going to look at, first of all, the first area we're going to examine is the content of their teaching. You can spot a false prophet or pastor or teacher or leader by their teaching. Do they teach God's word? Do they go through God's word carefully and explaining what God has said and what he's promised and what he's warned about? Are their sermons or their lessons filled with scripture? Do they tackle all aspects of scripture head on, wrestling with difficult passages and themes? Or is their teaching mostly about themselves, their lives and their experiences and their stories? Is their teaching rooted in God's word or rooted in themselves? Do their sermons point to Jesus, to his life, to his teaching, to his death, to his resurrection? Is it about what God has done for us and how we should respond? Do they teach biblical doctrine? Do they teach about God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Trinity? Do they teach about the sinfulness of humanity, of the necessity of salvation by faith alone, of Jesus being both fully God and fully man? If not, then they are false prophets and you should avoid them. As the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, who was a young pastor in the church in Ephesus, this is in 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 to 5. I solemnly urge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who will someday judge the living and the dead when he comes to set up his kingdom, preach the word of God. Be prepared whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They'll follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and chase after myths. But you should keep a clear mind in every situation. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Work at telling others the good news and fully carry out the ministry that God has given you. That was Paul's instructions to Timothy. So a false prophet or pastor will tell you what you want to hear. A true one will tell you what the Bible says, all of it, even if it's not a favorable time to do so. So that's just one test you can tell between a true prophet and a false prophet. Do they teach the Bible? Is the content based on scripture? Is it point to Jesus? Is it doctrinally sound? All these things. Second thing that we're bringing up today, and again, there's many we could choose, but I'm just choosing three. Content of their character. We've looked at content of their teaching, now content of their character. Does the prophet, teacher, pastor, leader display growth in the fruit of the Holy Spirit? Humility, perseverance, love, faith, goodness, gentleness. Now, we are all human beings with all of our flaws and shortcomings, but is the trajectory of the prophet, pastor, teacher, is the trajectory of their character towards becoming more like Jesus or less like Jesus? Are they striving to put the Sermon on the Mount into practice? Do they pray to God to be more reliant upon him and less reliant upon themselves? Do they mourn and repent when they come up short of God's word, God's standard? Do they pray for wisdom to lead God's people more than they pray for riches or security or safety or popularity? Are they more interested in being faithful to God than how popular they are with people? Are they fame hungry for their book to be the number one bestseller or their podcast or sermon to go viral, to get likes, to be noticed, just to puff up the ego? The Apostle Paul, again, absolutely not a false prophet, but an incredibly fruitful man of God, put it this way in Galatians 1:10. Galatians 1:10. Obviously, he said, I'm not trying to win the approval of people, but of God. If pleasing people were my goal, I wouldn't be Christ's servant. So in short, does the prophet, pastor, teacher, leader, elder, do they love God? And do they love people? Do they love people enough to tell them what God says? Content of their character. And the third thing to look at just today, just to consider, is do they give or take from the church? Do they give or take from the church? A false prophet, teacher, pastor wants adulation from the church. They want to be seen to be the man or woman of God. They often draw huge salaries, drive the most expensive car in the church parking lot. Sometimes they even claim that God told them to spend millions of dollars of church money on private airplanes. Because after all, God doesn't want his servants flying commercial, obviously. That was sarcasm. Do they demand that people in the church give of their time and their talents and their money while all the time refusing to do the same themselves? No. They should be examples to the church in giving of their time, money, and talents. Are they looking to fleece the flock or feed the flock? Again, Paul to Timothy wrote this, 1 Timothy 4. Teach these things and insist that everyone learns them. Don't let anyone think less of you because you are young. Be an example to all believers in what you say, in the way that you live, in your love, your faith, and your purity. Until I get there, focus on reading the scriptures to the church, encouraging the believers and teaching them. Now, in this day and age of podcasts and streaming, we're open to thousands of voices and opinions and sermons and lectures from thousands of different teachers, leaders, and prophets. Please don't just take on board all teaching. Reject teaching that is contrary to God's word. Reject teachers whose character is not growing to be more like Jesus and who are looking to take rather than give to the church. Run your favorite preacher, podcaster, whoever, through those kind of filters, house group leaders even. Remember, Jesus gives a strong warning to every single preacher and teacher out there. Every tree that doesn't bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Now, as direct as that was, Jesus doesn't stop there. He continues on with his sermon, Matthew 7, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Whew, that's some pretty direct words. Be good just to sit under the power of those words for a minute or so, under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, just for a minute, just for a moment. Let us turn over in our minds and in our hearts the implication of what Jesus just said there. Let me read it again, then we'll just sit in silence just for a few seconds and let the Holy Spirit work in our hearts. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. So Jesus shifts the focus from true and false prophets to true and false followers. He speaks directly to every single one of his followers, whether they are teachers or not. He speaks to every single one of us. And he says the same thing. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. Not everyone who sings worship songs, who comes to church, who serves coffee and cakes, who calls themselves a Christian. Maybe not everyone, even every one of us today listening to this sermon, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. But only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. So just let that sink in. Now, last week, a friend of mine came to visit me in the office, and we were going through some Francis Chan sermons together, little clips and snippets and some longer portions. And one of the sermons, Francis gave an example. He said that he asked his daughter to go clean her room. Now, imagine if the daughter had said to him, I understand what you're saying, Dad, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to go away and just study and memorize what you said. I'm going to look it up in Greek, what you said. I'm going to memorize the Greek. I'm even going to call some of my friends together and we're going to have a study over the implications of what you just said about cleaning your room. And then she came back and said, yeah, I did all that. I memorized it. I learned the Greek. We had the study. And then Francis asked his daughter, yeah, but did you clean your room? Oh, no, not yet. That's the sort of thing Jesus is talking about. It is good to study what he says and to learn what he says, but then we have to go away and do it. Now, I want to make this clear. We are not saved or damned by what we do. We can only be saved from our sins by what Jesus did on the cross. The sinless dying for the sinful, the righteous dying for the unrighteous, the holy for the unholy. If we repent of our sins, Jesus, and accept Jesus' sacrifice for us by faith, genuinely turn away from sin and turn towards Jesus and embrace the cross, then we're saved. We make Jesus our Lord and our Savior. But how do you know if a person has done that? Has genuinely repented of their sin, genuinely follows Jesus as Lord, actually taking Jesus as Lord of their life? Just like with the true and false teachers, they can tell by fruit. You can tell by someone's character and actions over a period of time whether they're following God or not. And likewise, it's not based on words or appearances, but upon actions. Because if you're genuinely following Jesus, then over time your life and your fruit will show that. So what do we need to do to follow Jesus? Well, we've spent all summer going through just one of Jesus' sermons, one of his sets of commandments, instructions, promises, and warnings, the Sermon on the Mount. So if Jesus is your Lord as well as your Savior, start here with the Sermon on the Mount. Read it thoroughly and then go put it into practice. Ask the Holy Spirit to empower you to do it. The Sermon on the Mount is God's commands to us as Christians. And it's taught us many things. It's taught us to seek first the kingdom of God as your absolute first priority in your life and not money, security, career, sports, ease, houses, boats, vacations. Just go over your bank account or your credit card purchases or what you've been ordering on Amazon. Look over your budget and ask yourself as you look at each of those things, is God first and foremost in my life or is it something else? Now we are to turn the other cheek when someone slaps you, when they sue you for a shirt, you give them your coat too. If your eye is wandering lustfully, you pluck it out, deal with the sin. Don't cozy up to sin, get rid of it. Don't walk around with a judgmental spirit. Get rid of the beam in your own eye before helping your brother with the speck in their eye. Be salt and light in your family, community, at your work. Don't hide your light under a bed, under a cover. Put it on a lampstand so that others can see your faith in action. Don't just love your friends, Jesus said. Love your enemies, just as Jesus loved his enemies, including you and I, and went to the cross for all of them. Now, Jesus anticipated people protesting against all of that. He anticipated false religious people wanting to proclaim themselves as genuine followers of God when they were not. And this is what he had to say. Verse 22, Matthew 7. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. So never mind those who say to Jesus, oh, I'm just a semi-regular or not so regular churchgoer who does nice things for people. No, even those, he says to those who were casting out demons and performing miracles, he says to some of those people, I never knew you. Never mind just the one foot in, one foot out folk. People who look like they've got 2 feet in, some of them, Jesus has said, depart from me. So how do you ensure then you're not one of those whom Jesus will cast out on Judgment Day? Well, you have to be in a genuine relationship with Jesus, getting to know him through his word and through prayer, taking him as your Savior and your Lord, and then doing the will of the Father in heaven. It's the only way to be a Christian, to be a disciple, to be a follower. And that is the way to respond to Jesus' death on the cross. And that applies to each and every one of us, including pastors. As Jesus put it in the passage that Russell preached from last week from the Sermon on the Mount, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. So yes, let us rejoice in the fact that our sins have been forgiven. Let us rejoice about all that Jesus did for us on the cross. Let's accept the free gift of salvation. And then, from a genuine and growing relationship with Jesus, let us do the will of the Father. Not just pay it lip service, not just try and appease God with a sprinkling of religious works. Let us be among the few that are prepared to walk along the narrow road. As Jesus instructs us, each and every one of us, deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. Amen. Okay, join us next week for the concluding part, the concluding sermon on the Sermon on the Mount sermon series. Thank you. Bye-bye.